I loved it at the beginning, but it was, you know, it's a very sort of different story once you're in it. I miss the buzz of it, you know, and that's why I still come probably 3 to 4 times a week. I'm the kind of person that I can't just, you know, staying at home, and I need that sort of...
Mrs. Karen Karamshai, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Can you tell the listeners and viewers a bit about you and a bit about your story?
Okay, so I'm a wellness enthusiast, very committed to making wellness more accessible and accessible to everyone around us. So yeah, that would be me. And I'm also sort of a coach in training.
I love that. You started off your career, from what we read, there was so much about you, it was so easy to put a script
it's
together.
It's a book.
You started off as a model, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What sort of got you into the realm of modelling, and what intrigued you and pushed you towards doing that?
I guess it was just my experience. I discovered that it was just quite life-changing, eating clean the majority of the time, exercising. I felt there was a lot of real-life benefits to it. Practicing mindfulness, self-care, self-love, and, you know, just practicing gratitude every day. I felt like there was a massive sort of shift in terms of my mental state and physical state. Mm.
Did you enjoy the modeling industry as a whole?
I did. I think originally I got into it because I loved traveling so much.
Yeah.
I loved the whole sort of, you know, I guess the glamour of it. And that's originally what made me get into it, my passion for sort of makeup and design and clothing. But yeah, I loved it at the beginning, but it was, you know, it's a very sort of different story once you're in it.
Yeah.
It's not as glamorous, you know, you travel a lot, you've got sort of long hours working. It can be quite, you know, overpowering. Mm. But yeah, so that's how I sort of started originally.
Did you ever struggle during your career, like sort of with your mental health, with your well-being? You've always been into your like clean eating,
yeah,
nutrition, such. Did you ever struggle with that, or find like other men and women in that industry did as well?
Yeah, I think I did. Looking back at it, I definitely did. You know, I was, you know, you're always taking care of yourself and you know, by doing treatments or whatever. But I think, you know, there was a lot of sleepless nights. You know, there was a lot of rejection. So you're going to castings and stuff, and a lot of the models suffer from that, and that can, you know, promote sort of self-doubt, and, you know, the whole sort of anxiety, can even depression, because you're constantly rejected. And, you know, it's not as glamorous as everyone thinks.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's important to sort of say that side of things.
Would you say the industry's changing at all from the time that you've done it up until now? Do you think it's changing at all?
I think so, and I hope so. I think there's more, you know, the whole sort of mental health is big. I think that people are much more switched on that.
Mm.
I think the whole, there's still a lot of sort of body image pressure, but I think a lot of the brands, I think, are starting to encompass more of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still some brands out there that are promoting the extremes. But I think hopefully they're managing to sort of go the other way.
What do you mean by extreme? Sorry.
I think nowadays, I think some brands are very quick and easy to sort of go with the bandwagon. You know, they promote
either
one way or the other, which is not really promoting a positive health, well-being image. And I think hopefully that's changing.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's eventually
going to
change.
Do you have a favorite brand you like to work with?
Oh God, I've got a few.
Tell us about them.
I love my skincare clients. You know, fashion I love. Activewear, I'm really into it. I've just, the beauty of this industry is just, it gives you the freedom to meet so many different people, so many different brands. Which I, you know, it's that creativity again. It's nice.
Yeah. Did you like the freedom of sort of, you said before, like traveling, traveling the world, but then it kind of became very stressful for you. What was that like in a way? Because we have a lot of people who watch this who will work a 9-to-5 or work in a cubicle at work, and they're stressed by it. What was it like sort of having the freedom of, you know, traveling the world and getting to do something so interesting?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing with this is there's so much pressure, which people don't see. There's a lot of pressure on us to do this podcast as well, which people won't see. They think it's a camera and you record it. When you're actually in the industry, is it as sort of like glamorous doing all the traveling, or is it really quite damaging for you in the long run?
I think it can be quite damaging. I think it's, you know, you've got to be quite thick-skinned to do this. There's a lot of rejection, like I said. It's a lot of sort of long hours traveling. You know, a lot of the times, you know, even the sort of financial sort of hazard around it, you know, you can be sort of dropped from a contract very sort of short term. You can have withheld payments, things like that, which, you know, that side of things is still not regulated enough, even though you can be booked under an agency. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot of traveling, but a lot of the times you can be in a place that you haven't seen any of the place, you know? So it just varies from job to job, I guess.
Yeah. Was there ever sort of like a pivotal moment in your modeling career where you were like, I'm done. Like, this is it. Like, that's it now. I'm finished.
Yeah. I think it was when I moved to the countryside. And it was, you know, when I moved to the countryside, I didn't even drive, you know. I was with my high heels. I just didn't really wear flat shoes. I'm still wearing them. But, I think it was when I moved to the countryside, that's when I decided to change. Because obviously, you know, London for me wasn't as accessible. So I sort of started slowing down a bit. And that's when I sort of started making big changes in my life.
Do you enjoy the London life?
I do. I still miss it. Yeah. I miss the buzz of it, you know, and that's why I still come probably 3 to 4 times a week to meetings and stuff like that. But yeah, I am glad I've done the move, because now I still, you know, I like my sort of relaxing, meditative sort of, quiet space.
So was it moving with your family?
I guess. I moved originally on my own. Okay. And that's when I started building my family and, amazing. Met my husband. So, yeah.
When did you meet your husband now?
He will know all the dates, but I don't. A few years back. So, yeah, we've been together for a long time. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you have a family
three kids.
Of three?
Three kids.
What's that been like?
Yeah, really good. Busy.
Yeah.
Chaos. It's not always, you know, as smooth, but it's. I love it. I love being a mom. You know, I also love doing this as well. Mm. It gives me best of both worlds. So
what was the transition from doing something that's quite solitary and modeling to mm-hmm. having that family dynamic? It's a huge
shift.
Change.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was nice. I love it. You know, I do love it. I'm the kind of person that I can't just, you know, staying at home and being a mom. Mm-hmm. I think it's, I need that sort of, how do you say it? Like, I need that sort of engagement with something else. I love doing what I do. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I get best of both worlds, really. Okay. And I love it. So,
what are the most important lessons you've learned from being a mum so far?
Oh, God. Patience, I guess. Resilience. Multitasker. And I guess it's finding that stillness, enjoying those little moments. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's, you know, oh my God, my son or my daughter's walked for the first time. It's just enjoying those little sort of
little
moments that come in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to stay on the topic. We've talked so much about like children's mental health, and children's mental health at the moment, from what we see, obviously we're not doctors, we just talk openly, we have specialists on, looks pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty bad at school, the younger generation. Have you found anything in particular that sort of like you're doing with your kids where you've been like, this is helpful, or you know, being more open or less screen time on social media? I don't know what the actual reason is. We've talked about this quite a few times now. There's lots of different factors, but is there anything in particular you guys look at as a family to help your children?
I think screen time is a big thing. I think, you know, even when we have play dates, you know, my son's or my daughter's friends come in with their screens, you know, and it's monitoring that. It's really hard, because that's part of our lives now. It's just day to day. And I find even filters, you know, like even my daughter, she'll take a picture and she'll put a filter on, and it's just being aware of that, you know, that sort of whole mental health behind it. But I love the fact that, for example, now schools are starting to have professionals in the schools having just to talk about mental health if they've got a problem. You know, I think it's much more talked about, where before it wasn't, and I think that's a positive thing.
Do you think it's important for children to be more open with like parents and close family yeah. about their mental health?
I think it is. Communication is key, I think.
Yeah.
It's so important for mental health. And I think it's, yeah, I think that's so important. I always sort of motivate my kids to, even if it's to talk about nothing, you know, just talk about it. Just
yeah.
not the best friend, but just talk to me about any issues that you have or, you know, anything that you come across that day.
Yeah.
How do you find the life balance between being active on social media, and obviously you are with what you do, you have to be on social media to do that, and we have that balance as well. I think it's, we talk so about hard. The toxicity of social media,
I know.
And how toxic it can be, and how nothing's, there's not a lot of realness on social media as well. We try to be as real as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side of that is we talk about how bad it is, and yet we're on it all the time.
Yeah,
so how
exactly.
do you find that balance?
So
it's a bit like keeping up with the Joneses, isn't it? Yeah. You're trying not to, but you end up doing it.
Yeah,
it's super hard. It's like with everything. It's trying to find that balance, I guess.
I think I remember you said that you try to keep your phone on the other side of the room and stuff like that when you wake up. So we wake up in the morning, we're on it straight away.
Yeah.
And it's having that thing. Is that what the kind of things you do to stop yourself?
Yeah, it's the little habits that you're trying to instill in myself and also the kids.
Yeah.
It's, you know, 9 o'clock is my cutoff. Mm. You know, I'm not on the phone. And it's, again, I probably don't pick up my phone until probably 9:30 in the morning. I try to be really strict with that. Because also my kids start seeing that, so it's,
they see,
you know,
you doing
what's that word, phrase, monkey see, monkey do.
Learned behavior.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I try to, not always,
it's hard,
but it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah,
especially when everything revolves around this one screen as well, like work.
It's
talking
addictive.
To family.
It's so addictive.
We talk
so
about
addictive.
This all the time, and Joe's like, "What was your screen time?" And I was like, yesterday it was about 7 hours because I was just like, I'm on my phone, I'm like refreshing the statistics, I'm posting the reels, I'm editing.
Yeah.
And then he was like, 7 hours. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It just goes so quickly as well. And I need that dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Which is, this is a really strange one for me. I'm really big on morning routine now.
Okay.
And I was going to ask you, what, do you have a morning routine in place? Because I have ADHD.
Yeah.
I talk very openly about it. And mm-hmm. I sort of need a dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I just go crazy.
So what do you do in the morning?
So in the morning now, I have a Lumi lamp.
Lamp?
I actually find
it.
That really useful. So I leave all my electronics outside the room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have my phone. And if worst case scenario, I've had a few things in the past where I left my phone outside and something bad happened in the night. And it's kind of like a scarring trauma for me where my phone's outside. I'm lying in bed like, oh, what if something bad's going to happen? So sometimes I have my phone in, but I have my Lumi lamp and that'll wake me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I wake up, I'll just open the curtains and try and just get like some natural light in from that and not go on my phone straight away. Because I felt like before I'd roll over, I'd pick up my phone, I'd be like, sort of like scrolling through. And it would always set me off really badly. I don't know what effect that had on my ADHD or just me in general, but it would really mess with me. Then I'll go shower, get my stuff on, grab my phone, and then go down. And that is such a simple thing for me, but that works so well at the moment. The minute I have my computer in my room and I'm on it straight away, I don't know why, I just can't function properly for the rest of the day. It starts me off fresh, and that's the main thing. Or I'll go to the gym, I gym at 6:30 on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So kind of just having that like routine behind me is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk to Joe about this. Joe's just come back from Barbados. That's why he looks very tan.
Yeah, you do. Nice.
And he was saying before you came in, was how badly his routine's gone since he's been back and how awful he feels.
Mm. And you can
we're big routine guys.
Yeah. And you can feel, you can get into it very quickly, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably like you, is I'm reliant on it. So if I don't have a routine, my mental health really spirals. Mm-hmm. And Tom had the same problem a couple of months back when he got back from his traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up an injury before I went away, and I felt like I couldn't go to the gym, which, again, when I'm traveling or going away, I still like to be able to use the gym. It keeps me ticking over.
Yeah.
So if I can't do that and I'm away and I'm sitting still, I can't really sit still for that long. I'm not that good at it. So if I can't have that, I'm awful.
It does affect you,
It massively does. So since I've come back, my routine is all over the place, and it really takes me a while to get back into it. So I was going to ask you what your routine looks like, because I know that you're very reliant on it as well with your day-to-day with the kids.
I mean, for me, it's everything. The habits in the morning, for me, it just sets me up for the day. And I think, you know, I love my routine. I'm very sort of quite specific about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I roll. That's how I sort of, it works for me. Mm. So in the morning, I'd probably have hot water. And then I like to do things like red light, sauna, which that's where I sort of multitask a bit. I sort of do my meditation. Nice. Love to do my gratitude list. Movement for me is key. Just I have to work out some kind of, whether it's Pilates, low impact, or whether it's sort of more weight training. I love doing all that. I think I do it more, the daily movement, just more mental health than physical, yeah. I guess. Yeah. It's so important.
Can you walk us through each step? So why hot water? Is that just,
I think,
just enjoy it, or is that actually,
I'm a bit like I'm Brazilian, so I get cold really easily. But yeah, no, I just love that warm feeling. A bit like Ayurveda. Yep. Ayurveda, the whole principle about it is because, you know, it's nice to start the day with something warm. So I love that. Then I'd probably have a green juice. I love my green juices. I always sort of press it every day. Then I'd have my breakfast, and then I usually do some kind of movements, whether it's Pilates or whether, well, if the weather's sunny, I like to go for a walk, put my podcast on, and just as long as I'm moving in the morning, it sort of does it for me.
That's great. Well, so I've just come back from traveling Brazil.
Have you? Oh my god, that's amazing.
South America, so we did.
Oh wow.
Argentina, Uruguay.
Oh amazing.
And then Brazil, and we did the Rio Carnival.
Oh my god, you're like,
it was awesome. Whereabouts?
Massive FOMO now.
It's amazing.
So I'm originally, I lived all my life in Brazil, São Paulo. I lived in Brasilia as well. My brother still lives there, but yeah, I love it. I mean, yeah.
We loved Parate.
Oh yeah, Parachi, yeah. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's nice.
Like, that was proper. I won't get it. I spoke about it so much now. Oh, amazing. Everyone listening will be like, this guy needs to stop speaking about Brazil. It was the best trip I've ever done.
Oh, amazing. That's so nice to hear. Yeah, wicked. I miss it a lot.
We hope you enjoyed part 1 of 3 of this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you are, please leave us a kind rating. It helps us more than you'll ever know. Here's a bit of what you can expect in part 2.
With heart palpitations, and I thought, I just felt like my body was shutting down. It was basically a year. It took me a year to fight to get to the bottom of what was going on with me. I was doing saunas at the time when I had breast implants, and I felt super.